I'm going to continue with my talk, I think, and hopefully it'll catch up. I wanted the pictures, but I had some of Sarah on there, and but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Who's got a Bible today? Good on you all, on your phones and stuff. I'm not sure whether it's good having scripture up here, because it means that we don't bring Bibles, and I can understand you think you don't need it because it's going to be up there, but it might not be up there today. And so there are times to have Bibles, and we're one of these churches where we all believe in the Bible but don't bring them, I know. But there we go. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1, but I'm not going to start there because I just wanted to bring a thought from verse 9 to start with, and then we will work backwards. So it may catch up with me on the screen. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says this: "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Thank you. Oh, I can see it down here. It's not up there. Okay. I think we're on the way. "Fanning into Flame the Dream of God" is the title of my talk. And sorry, I've got different things on here than you've got up there, so I'm just wondering what I should be looking at, but we'll just keep going. Okay, so it was only a few weeks ago that Sarah was with us worshipping in her way. I remember Mike Pusey, he was speaking, and I just said to Mike, as the worship was continuing, "You see that lady over there? You'd never know it, but she's struggling with cancer, but she was worshipping the Lord, and she was waving her flag. And within days, it seemed, within a week or so, she had declined so quickly. And that was her last occasion to be with us here on Sunday. And many of you may not have known Sarah personally, but I think if one had been here for a month or two, you would have certainly have heard her. She wasn't a quiet woman. She loved the Lord, and she loved the Lord with a freedom and an abandon. And as we've said on Wednesday, she went to be with her Lord. But I wanted to remind you of this scripture, which as I was preparing, I just saw. I wasn't going to go as far as this. But verse 10 says, it talks about the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What an amazing scripture. See, of course we grieve. Of course we're sad. But as a church, we don't grieve as the world grieves, because for us and for Sarah, we believe that the end, death is not the end. Sarah has been promoted to glory. Jesus has destroyed the power of death and brought life and immortality through the gospel. This is the promise which we proclaim for all who believe. Sarah is not dead, she's alive. I'm going to see Adrian later on today, and Adrian told me before Sarah died, they discussed funeral arrangements and things which I find hard to quite grasp, but praise God, and she wants to have the funeral here, and she wants me and others involved in the service and stuff like that. But when the funeral takes place, there'll be grief and there'll be sadness and there'll be a body, but Sarah has left the body. She is with the Lord. And you know what I was thinking? She's going to be raised with a new body. And when I die, I'm going to be raised with a new body. And these new bodies are going to be cancer-proof, sickness-proof, death-proof. No more sin, no more sickness, no more sighing. The kingdom will have come in all of its fullness. Let's have my picture. Well, that was the group. And there's Sarah. And there she is there as well. And one day, all those who believe are going to be raised to be with Jesus. So when I was signing the condolences book, I just put on there, "See you soon, Sarah." And Jackie said to me, "I hope it's not that soon." I said, "Well, Jesus said he was coming soon, and it's 2,000 years ago. So, you know, I don't know what soon means in his terms. But from Sarah's point of view, she's sleeping. And when she wakes up, we'll be there. And the Lord will be there. And that is the incredible gospel which we preach. So this is our gospel. This is our hope. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go back now to the first verse of this chapter. Fanning into flame the dream of God was the title. And verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I got stuck on there too. And I thought, what a beautiful way to write to his disciple. This is Paul writing to Timothy, my dear son. And it just struck me, you see, this is a vision. Our vision isn't just to have members attending cells or cell members. It's not even just forming disciples. At the end of the day, it's a vision which includes a relationship of spiritual sons and daughters and spiritual mothers and fathers. Now, to some extent, it might be spiritual brothers and sisters because we've grown up with each other and we've known each other for so long. But in generally, it'll become the other way around. And Paul is writing here to Timothy, his dear son. Now, he wasn't his dad, but he was his spiritual dad. And Timothy had responded to him as a son. And it was, I just thought, a lovely expression of love and affection. You see, they weren't just together for the gospel. They weren't just together for the purposes of God, but together in friendship. And that's another reason we have cells in the church here. So you can get to know fellow disciples and friends, as well as be connected with a spiritual father or mother, which can help you grow in the Lord. So Paul, he wrote here to Timothy, his dear son. And then he went on to say, I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your mother, grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I got stuck on that. The verse I want to get to is still to come. But we see another beautiful example here of one of our values, family. Or as they say in Colombia, a priestly family. A family who are following the Lord together. And in the vision, it's about raising up godly descendants to serve the Lord. Actually, that's what Malachi says. The reason for not divorcing, the reason for good marriages is that we may raise up a generation which is going to serve the Lord, Malachi chapter 3. And G12, you see, it isn't extra to family or church. It is. It's family. It's church. That's what this vision is all about. And our goal should be not just for our whole family to believe. Praise God. We want to see them believing. But also that as a family, we serve together to win souls, to make disciples, and to make him known, that we might become the hope, Jesus' hope, to the town of Reading and beyond. And here I see an example of three generations of godly descendants, from grandmother Lois to grandson Timothy. And I thought, wow, that is special. And it reminded me, I can't see if my mum's here, actually. Is my mum here? She's not here today. Well, I've still got a picture of her anyhow. I've got a picture of my mum. And my mum and my dad, they taught me and they taught my brothers and sisters the Christian faith. And even when we wandered away from God, my mum particularly prayed. And not only did she pray, she sought the Lord for words, promises. We talked about the promises of God earlier in one of those songs. She sought the Lord for promises for each of her four children. And she prayed until we returned. And I don't know whether her siblings could stand for a moment or two. John, Jill, Richard, Caroline, are you here? Penny, CJ, they've all gone. And I just think, Lord, you have been so faithful. You have been so faithful. And the whole of my mum's family are in this church here, which isn't all that usual, but that's the case in this occasion. Thank you very much. But this was three generational here. And did you know my mum was the first person in this church to have a 12? Now, I'm not sure everybody's going to appreciate this. 12 grandchildren, which my mum has. Now, they're not all in the church, and that, as you can see, is taken a few years ago. And some are going on more strongly than others, but generally there's faith and there's belief in all of those 12 people right down. And of course, after that, there's little ones now which are coming too. And it just made me think, this is a vision. We need to pray. And I've got two little grandchildren, and I was thinking, somebody said to me they pray every day for me. And I thought, I need to pray every day for my two little grandchildren as well as my children. And I want to encourage parents and grandparents. We take initiative, we pray, we teach, we do all that we can to raise up brilliant sons and daughters who are going to be amazing mothers and fathers to our grandchildren and beyond, that we may see the vision, the gospel of the Lord through the generations and working together for his purposes. Would you agree with me on that? Amen. And you see, the other principle here, which I'm not going to develop in any length, but it's three generations. And you know, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of three generations. And my vision and my goal is to see a third generation. And if the second generation to me can also have the same vision and goal, that will be my fourth and their third generation. We will see ongoing increase and multiplication as people find the Lord and come to him. Amen. Let's move on. We're getting to the verse I wanted to speak from. Verse 6, for this reason, Paul says to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. And we've been talking much about the Holy Spirit in recent weeks, and I have found it so helpful. I've done a lot of the speaking, but also a lot of the receiving and hearing too, and it's been such an encouragement. In fact, somebody said to me yesterday, you know, they I can't remember how they put it now, but anyway, whatever it was, the Holy Spirit has become their key companion, their godly companion. They pray to the Holy Spirit now more than they ever used to. They pray to the Holy Spirit in their daily journey, in their daily tasks, because God, Father, and Son are in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is in us and with us. Oh, that's so wonderful. Fellowship, communion with the Holy Spirit. But with Paul, I want to remind us here to fan into flame the gift of God or the calling of God within you. You see, Timothy was a young man, but Paul had imparted to him a spiritual gift, very likely to equip him. He was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and more than likely the gift was particularly to do with his role and ministry in Ephesus. But it seems that as he writes to Timothy that something was lying dormant there. And he says, Timothy, it's time to fan into flame. Blow the breath of God, or to allow the breath of God to blow again on that ministry and on that gift. And as I was preparing my talk for today, I was thinking, there are some here who need to rekindle that gift from the Holy Spirit, which was imparted maybe months or years ago, or even a vision or a dream of God which has been imparted into your lives and laid low. It's time to reawaken. It's time to fan into flame the promises of God, which have been spoken over you or your family or your ministry or your business. You see, stuff can come into our lives. We live in a very busy society, don't we, and culture. And disappointments can come in, and misunderstandings can come in. And maybe sin and condemnation can come into our lives. Maybe a sense of rejection, or we've gone forward in something and we've just not had the response that we were expecting, and we've pulled back. But I just want to say to you, now is the time to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe afresh on those words, on those promises, on those dreams, on those gifts which God has imparted to you. You see, he anoints the natural with the supernatural. He brings that divine touch. He brings an anointing and a passion for us to serve him with zeal. So let's ask God to breathe that new life into those areas which he's already imparted to us. And you know, this applies to me too. See, I haven't seen yet what I've been expecting to see. I'm so appreciative of all that God's done and all that God is doing for new life, souls being saved, for Mark and his wife Maya, who gave their life to the Lord yesterday, for healing, for growth, for the Holy Spirit and the activity that we see, for an amazing facility which God's given us. It's good. But you see, this isn't it. And I, for one, am asking the Lord to fan into flame again that vision, that dream which he's imparted. You see, it's so easy to settle for the good and to miss the best. In fact, I think it's one of the enemy's ploys. There's lots of good churches, lots of good ministries, but this nation is going downhill. There needs to be great churches, great ministries raised up to make a difference in this town and in this nation to the glory of God. And so I'm asking the Lord, fan into flame in my heart and in our hearts that vision which you've given us to powerfully impact this town and even the nations of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a vision of faith and conquest. And so Sarah was a warrior. Sarah was believing to the end for healing and believing in the goodness of God. And she wasn't accepting. They didn't even discuss the funeral until few days before she died. God is wanting to raise up men of faith and women of faith and conquest in this church. It's a vision to see 12 disciples formed, 12 great leaders who are also going to form 12 great leaders, and the multiplication continues, the three generations which I alluded to continues. It's a vision of seeing marriages and families transformed. And we can't make good marriages without God. We can't just, if it's a struggle, it'll always be a struggle unless he comes. Unless he helps, unless we agree that we need to change attitudes, actions, words, or whatever it is, so that there are great marriages and great families in this church, working together to see the Lord honored in this town. It's a vision to see many souls find faith. Many souls find faith. And at times I think, Lord, this vision, it seems so impossible. It's too great, it's too grand. We've not experienced it yet. So I say, Lord, fan it into flame. Keep that seed watered. Keep that flame alive. Let it spread. Because it's through faith and it's through conquest that we begin to see the vision of God outworked in our lives. You see, our culture and society have moved so far away from biblical principles and truth. What we stand for now in this church even seems radical. But if you look in the Bible, it's normal New Testament Christianity. That's all it is. This is what we were saved for. But because we've got so used to a level of Christianity down here somewhere, when we begin to believe and expect for something up there, it seems so out of the ordinary, unbelievable, crazy, stupid. Get yourself sorted. Actually, that was New Testament. And I have a feeling God wants to go beyond that too, to impact the nations of this world. Can I have an amen on that? You see, our calling and our commission was never, ever meant to be an add-on. It was always meant to be, that's us. That's what we're here for. Some of us, quite a number of us, are going to Colombia in January next year. And in Colombia, they have this strange notion that they were saved to save others. When they become Christians, they just think or believe or understand, now my role is to save my family. Now my role is to let my colleagues at work know. Now my role is to tell people in the community or in the school or wherever it is. It's a rather strange notion over here, I know. We want to try to keep it a bit private, and religion is private and everything else. But I think they might be a bit nearer the truth. They're saved to save. They're saved to make him known. And that is the calling of God on their lives, and actually, it's the calling of God on our lives too. And you and I have a role to play. So I'm saying, Lord, fan into flame. Fan into flame this vision. Fan into flame these gifts which are so important, so necessary for us to fulfill this call on our lives. Don't let it go out. Don't let our hearts grow cold. Let us keep on believing that the latter is going to be greater than the former, because that's what the Bible tells us. Amen. Amen. So we need to see spiritual gifts come alive and our dreams be rekindled again. Hallelujah. I was thinking, it's good to dream, isn't it? You know, we sent out the tenders for this work this week, and who knows what that's going to come in at. We'll find out what the costs are going to be. But when we've had it complete, when we complete it, we'll be able to have 700 people here in this auditorium. I was thinking, 700 people, that sounds great. I mean, that would be maybe the biggest evangelical church in our town. But that's not going to touch really. They're just happy for us to gather here and carry on. That's not going to make any difference. Maybe we could fill it twice on a Sunday. Maybe we could fill it three times on a Sunday. Maybe 2,000 people could gather here. Well, now we're talking. I think some people would take a little bit of notice, especially the neighbours, if we have that sort of number coming. But just imagine, well, not 2,000 attenders, not 2,000 visitors, just imagine 2,000 disciples. Just imagine 2,000 who know that who their spiritual father is and who are growing and developing in the call of God on their lives. Just imagine 2,000 people devoted to God and each other and to a dream of conquering this town and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's beginning to make a difference, wouldn't you think? I think we could be getting somewhere. Disciples full of the Holy Spirit, faith and wisdom. And did you know that was the criteria just to serve refreshments in the New Testament church? Before you can serve refreshments, you've got to be full of the Holy Spirit, faith and wisdom. And then you can give your coffee. Well, I think their standards were a little bit different to ours. But I want us to get back to those sort of standards. God's dream in our hearts, that prophetic gift, those words of knowledge, those gifts of healing, even that sense, God, I believed you called me to lead a 12, but my cell has shrunk. But I'm coming back to you. Put that vision, put that heart, put that faith back in me again, that I might rise up into and use these gifts and respond to this call on our lives. That needs to be in our hearts. It's time for new beginnings. We're a bit late catching up on this. Pastor Caesar prophesied it in January, but it's November. But it's time for new beginnings. New beginnings in so many different areas of our lives. So, Lord, I say, fan it into flame for your glory. And I have one other point. Let's go to verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Timothy, this young pastor, probably quite shy and timid. Maybe many of us are like that today. And you see, shyness and timidity is a type of fear. And we just read there in that verse, for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. Now, I can understand maybe natural fear. We've just seen what's happened in Paris. I can understand people thinking, is it safe to go to London? You know, is it safe to go to some of the big cities in the West? But if we allow that thought to dominate our hearts and minds, we'll just be sitting in front of the telly and staying in our houses. There's a natural thing there, but we must not allow fear, even that sort of fear, to come into our hearts. We need to be men and women of faith who trust in a God that is in control of everything. So fear. Fear is a weapon from the enemy. Fear paralyzes. Fear crushes. Fear binds. Fear controls emotions and actions. Fear is a spirit. And its hold over us needs to be broken. This is, if you like, one of the two prophetic words. One, well, hopefully there's more of that, but one is we need to fan in a flame that dream, that gift God's given us. Two, we need to deal with fear. Because fear will prevent us from fulfilling the destiny God has called us to. Fear of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the future. Fear of dreaming again. Fear of trusting. You trusted once and you could never trust again. Fear of authority. Maybe you were abused by parents or older brothers or church pastors or whatever it might be. I could never trust again. There's a fear. It needs to be broken. Authority is good. It comes from God. It needs to be broken. We come back into that line of him. Fear of rejection. Fear of man. Too worried about what people think. So we don't share the gospel. We don't want our work colleagues to think we're a bit crazy, and we don't step out. We don't invite people to Alpha, a bit embarrassed about Alpha, or coming to a cell. I mean, you don't describe it as a cell. You think you can take them to prison. You need to describe it in a way which is conducive, but we don't even do that. Oh, I don't think they get on. I make all sorts of excuses, but it comes down to fear. And Paul in this passage seems to allude to fear of embarrassment about the gospel. He says, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Paul was in prison at this time. And so often I think we're just ashamed of the gospel. And it's a fear. And I think some of us have to recognize and say, you're right, Nev, you're right. I've been living under this fear for ages. I couldn't tell anybody, can't even tell my family, you know, that I'm a Christian or whatever it might be. I mean, there are right times to make these sort of confessions, I realize. But I was comparing, I think Muslims aren't afraid of their God, their religion. They're not ashamed. They put the garb on, they grow the beards. I think James is getting reverted. They put the stuff on, they grow their beards, they go around, the ladies cover up everything except for their eyes. Then I would think, how embarrassing. But they don't think that. For whatever reason, they're not ashamed of their religion. Christians, we've got truth. We've got love. We've got hope. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. It has the power to change lives. It has the power to transform almost everything that we touch. It has power to save us from death and to live forever, as Sarah has already experienced. And yet we're embarrassed about the gospel. It's fear. But the Spirit of God does not give us fear or timidity. He makes us bold. You see, I'm a little bit like Timothy, if I'm honest with you, in the natural. I'm quite shy. I have to push through. I have to push through. But that's one way of dealing with fear. I'm pushing through. I asked Jim to send me a picture yesterday, and he's not even on it. I said, Jim, send me a picture, because this group, and everybody's welcome, are going out on the streets fortnightly on Saturdays, a couple of hours or so. Under the banner of prayer, offering prayer, but sharing the gospel and doing whatever comes, you know, just responding. Why are they doing that? They want souls to be saved. Why are they doing that? They want to make it known. The gospel can save you. Why are they doing that? They want Jesus to get his reward. Why are they doing that? Because there's a passion in their hearts to win souls and to make disciples. And I said to Jim, Jim, I'm going to come out as often as I can with you. Couldn't make it yesterday. I'm going to come out when I can. Why do I want to do that? Because I believe the call of God on all of us is to win souls and make disciples. Will I find that easy? No. I was out with Paul Leonard, I don't know if he's here somewhere, and he said, I noticed you don't find it quite so easy. It's true, I don't find it quite so easy. But I'm still going. And I'm still going to go. Fear isn't going to win the day. I want to be out there and do what we need to do. So I want to encourage you. You know, you may not feel this is your cup of tea. Find a cup of tea that is yours and win souls and make disciples and overcome fear. When the disciples in the book of Acts, they'd seen tremendous responses, souls getting saved, and the authorities got so jealous and envious, they rounded them up and they threw them into prison and they couldn't decide what to do. And at the end of the day, they just threatened them and warned them, just never preach again. Don't preach again. We're banning you from preaching. And then the disciples left and they went back to their house. And what was their prayer? Acts chapter 4. What was their prayer? Lord, you've seen their threats. You've heard the responses. You've heard the words. Lord, give us boldness to to continue to preach. Lord, give us boldness to see miracles. Lord, give us boldness to proclaim the kingdom of God, because there's a passion burning in their hearts. There's a flame which was alive and burning brightly in their hearts. And whatever the authorities had to say, they said, no, give us boldness, Lord. And do you know what happened? The whole house where they were was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and spoke the word boldly. Some of you might be thinking, I couldn't do it. You need more of the Spirit. The answer to fear, more Holy Spirit. Give us boldness. Give us boldness. And that's my prayer, that we overcome fear. We don't allow it to rule in our lives. The dream of God, the salvation of souls, the forming of disciples and leaders, far too important a call to say, oh, I'm a bit frightened. He wants to put a fire in your hearts. He wants you to overcome fear. He wants you to deal with that spirit which is there to cripple and to prevent you from being able to respond to what God's calling you to. Let's stand together. And I want to give people the opportunity to respond in a moment or two. I believe we do need to pray and believe for our families. They may have left home. They may be living lives which are just ungodly. They may have left the faith. Can you keep it up there, please? Just for a minute. They may be far away from God. We need to pray and keep praying. Danny, if you could just have that back up there. Praying for our families, believing God for our families. Maybe they're with us. Maybe we've got little ones. We need to intentionally pray, teach how to read the Bible, how to pray, introduce them to that relationship with God, believing that they are going to work with us together in the vision of God and to see souls and disciples formed. We need to fan into flame that promise, that dream. I believe there's many promises and dreams in the church here. We need to fan that into flame. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit, supernatural gifts which He's given us, that God might that we might be able to respond with a passion and pick up that beautiful gifts which He's given us. We need to break the power of timidity and fear, and we need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit, in order that we can accomplish the call of God and the destiny on our lives. Are you with us in this? I didn't really know any of the songs we sang earlier. Probably missed the one that we did. I got here a bit late. But I said to Pete, there's a song about being bold. And I thought, no, it's not being bold. It's a song about being brave. I'm not asking you to sing it now. You might have another plan. And he said, yes, we're singing that. That's absolutely brilliant. Never heard that song sung here before. Be brave. Church, be brave. Church, be brave. If you need to come to the forward for prayer, be brave. Push your way through those lines and come to the front for prayer. If you've got something that God's resurrecting in your life, be brave. Get hold of it. Don't let go. Push through. Push through. If you've got fear in your life, break its power. Come forward for prayer. Go out for prayer. Push through. Push through. Let's be brave and see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. So, Father, I worship You. I love You. Thank You for all that You're doing. I thank You, Lord, this building is going to be full and overflowing as we respond to Your word, as we commit to Your word and the passion which is in Your heart for us as a church to go and win souls and to make disciples. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will help us fan into flame those gifts, fan into flame those dreams, fan into flame those ministries, Lord, which are going to be needed to see the captive set free, to see souls saved, to see people healed, to see marriages transformed, to see families living godly, priestly homes. Lord, I pray, come by Your Spirit and touch our hearts afresh. And Lord, we stand against that spirit of fear. That spirit of fear that prevents us from talking, that makes us embarrassed, that spirit of fear which comes upon us when it comes to the gospel, Lord, we break its power in Jesus' name. And I say, Lord, fill us, fill us, fill us again with Your Spirit, that we might go from this place with power and with boldness. Amen. Amen.